Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody. Singing his words and what you do. Sing like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to me.
Follow me. If
you're not on Facebook, you can follow me on Daryl Kendrick on Facebook. Most of you probably are, because I reach out and always send the invite to come. But if you know people that don't know me that might be interested, they can follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Also on Pinterest, you can follow me at Daryl Kendrick or Minister Daryl Kendrick on Pinterest. And also follow me on Google Plus at Daryl Kendrick, and you can catch me as well. If you need like to contact me via Gmail, that's dkendricksr@gmail.com. Also, my phone number is 713-538-4936. 713-538-4936. And the call-in number here, for those that might be listening, is 646-668-8468. And with that being said, we're going to pray, and we're going to get right into today's lessons about God, that God is immutable, and what does immutable mean? For those that might not know, the Bible uses it one time, but it's found throughout many places in Scripture, in the Old Testament as well as the New. So we want to look at God's Word and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, because, you know, it's not godly to be ignorant of God's truth. It's like if you have a father, an earthly father, and he didn't teach you anything about life, then it would really be a heartbreaking thing that your father, especially if he was in the house and you had a relationship with him, but he didn't teach you anything about how to live this life down here, whether good or bad or indifferent, something that you could feed off of. Well, our Heavenly Father has given us the nuggets, the spiritual food, the manna from heaven, from all 66 love letters from Genesis to Revelation. They don't appeal to the flesh, but they appeal to to the spirit. They feed us spirit, man, and we need that. We need a God that's going to serve us straight up, no chaser. We need a God that will not compromise. We don't want a pocket God. We don't want a God that's not immutable, that he will change. We want a God that's never changing, and he always is who he said he is. He's always in character. And praise God, we have the true and living Jehovah. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you not only for the fact that you didn't change, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your plan was already set in motion before heaven and earth ever was created, before the stars were laid out, before the oceans were spread by, before this planet was formed. You already had us in mind. You already knew your plan. You were the pot. You were the potter sitting with a lump of clay, molding everything, fashioning everything as you saw fit. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that each and every one of us has been designed and perfectly designed the way you wanted us to be designed and fashioned in your image for your glory. Those of us who know you, those that don't know you, Lord God, we plead and pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, that they would get to know this unchangeable God, this God who existed from time in and time out. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, but he knows no end because his end is infinite. He goes on and on and on. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for opening our eyes just a little bit to see who you are and to know a little bit more about you. May I decrease and may you increase. May the Holy Spirit have his way. May he speak through me and build up the body of Christ this day. In Jesus' mighty matchless name, we say amen. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. 646-668-8468. We're going to be talking about the immutability of God. And what does that mean? First, we must look at definitions, because words mean something. And we're going to look at the Bible, we'll look at a little Bible dictionary and get a little understanding of what it means to be immutable, or what immutability, all of these are synonymous of God, of unchanged or unchangeableness. The word immutable, and we'll just stick with one because they all pretty much demonstrate the character of God. When we look at it, he is immutable and he does not change. God is immutable. and he's not alterable. He's unalterable. You can't see. The thing about it is that many people who have these idols and gods that they've created and statues of God and even the statues of Jesus, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. The Bible is not. Michelangelo painted that picture. He never saw Jesus. A lot of people going around talking about they saw Jesus. We don't know what Jesus looked like because there was no cameras back in that day and they wasn't painting any pictures of him. One thing we do know is that the Bible clearly tells us that he was not someone we would look upon as he wouldn't have been somebody we would have put in the office because he didn't look like that kind of guy. He wasn't someone that stood out like a Saul. David wasn't picked because he looked like Saul. David was picked because he was shown to be a leader. He was shown to be able to kill Goliath. Amen. But David wasn't picked. He was the scrawniest of all the brothers. The scrawniest. But he went out there with a rock and a slingshot and dropped a big old Goliath, didn't he? So God doesn't care about how we look. He's more concerned about what's in our heart. What's in our heart. But God is immutable. And because God is immutable, invariable, unalterable, not compatible or susceptible of change. And we're going to look at some scripture. We're not going to get too far today because, again, when we're dealing with the Word of God, we're dealing with truth, and we want the truth to speak to us, and we want it to stand out. This word says the immutability of God, his quality of not changing, is clearly taught throughout Scripture, for example, in Malachi 3:6. In Malachi 3:6, God affirms, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. What does that exactly mean? Okay, God doesn't change. I mean, we can bank on the fact that what God says in his word, he's going to fulfill. He's going to honor that. He's not, even when God, when we see scriptures and we'll see how, when it, sometimes it says God repented, God never sinned. So he never had to repent of doing anything wrong. He never had to apologize for doing anything wrong because God is incapable of sin and error. So when we read the Word of God, we must read it in contextual, biblical context, and we must be able to understand what is the author meaning, because we don't want what may be perceived as a contradiction is not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction at all. And we're going to see that. But we see, let's look at Malachi 3. Let's look, it says, for I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Now, A, we must understand what does he mean, for you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Remember, Jacob was one of the 12 tribes. So a lot of times when you see him referring to one person's name or a singular person's name, he's usually talking about a tribe or a nation or part of the nation of Israel because there were 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. And there were different sects, and all these different tribes had numerous people out of that tribe because they all had offspring. But all of these were under the covenant or under the umbrella of Jacob or under the umbrella of Israel because God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because he made a covenant, he never changed or broke his covenant. Even when Israel broke their covenant, God never changed or broke his covenant. There were some people that reaped the benefits or reaped what they sowed, and they were destroyed, but God never destroyed Israel as a whole, just like the promise right now stands for Israel. A lot of people, a lot of scholars, a lot of theologians, a lot of even pastors have written Israel off, and that slaps right in the face of this lesson, because if God is immutable and he made a covenant with Israel, that covenant stands to eternity. Only thing changed was the fact that man does not keep his end of the bargain. Only thing that's changing is the fact that mankind will not do what they're called to do, and God has to deal with them because God will not allow sin to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot sit and play games with your sin or playing your mess in your flesh and think you're going to get the best with God. God is always going to honor us when we honor him. But he's not obligated to reward us for being disobedient. He's not. And you need to stop fooling yourself. If you think you can play with sin, if you think you can shack up, if you think you can lay up, if you think you can smoke dope, if you think you can do drugs, if you think you can do whatever you want to do because you said a prayer and professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, but nobody knows he's your Lord and Savior because you still are, Satan is still your Lord and Savior and Master. You're still cursing like the world. You're still hateful. You're still mean. You're still lying. You're still cheating. You still have no integrity or character. See, the thing about being a Christian, the thing about being a Christian is that we're supposed to be growing from faith to faith. We're supposed to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. What I see people doing is I see the people working, they're working the word salvation, but there's no fear and no trembling about their relationship with God. Oh, they can quote you scripture, but scripture ain't quoting them. Oh, they got the gift of gab, but they don't have a relationship with God. And God is calling us to holiness. He's calling us to righteousness because God says, I don't change. If I said I'm going to do something, if I tell you that I will destroy a nation, you can believe I'm going to destroy that nation unless they repent, i.e. Jeremiah. In the time of Jeremiah, and y'all keep hearing me refer back to it because it's such a profound book, you need to read it. Read what God said he was going to do. He said he was going to send his people into captivity. And what did that mean? Because they would not repent. He told Jeremiah to go preach to them, but he told them they're not going to listen to you, Jeremiah. Not one of them is going to turn. Guess what? God sent the Babylonians. They had a relationship with Egypt, too. They thought they was going to get the Egyptians to come in and go against the Babylonians. God voided, he voided that plan. That didn't happen. Because, see, when God says he's going to do something, you better believe it, friends. Ain't nothing going to stop God from doing it because he don't change. And because he don't change, guess what? We need to change. We need to line up with his will and stop lining up with the will of the devil, the flesh, and the world. You ain't fooling God. We can't fool him. We can't manipulate him. We can't get over on him. You want to talk about the play? You're trying to play the player of all players. And you get played. You get played. God does not change. And Malachi is telling us, God affirms this. The eye of the Lord do not change. In Numbers 23:19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? So when God spoke in his word, don't get it twisted that, oh, well, God didn't give me what I wanted, because God ain't going to give you what you want. God going to give you what's best for you. God never gives us what we want because we want it. God always gives us the best, what we need. I hear these so-called, quote-unquote, prosperity preachers naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing, but guess what? They're not getting anything from God. They're getting it all from you. They pimping you. These rascals are pimping you out of your money, and then they want to tell you God blessed them. God didn't bless them. God never blessed them. They're false teachers. False teachers don't get blessed by God. Satan is blessing them. And guess what? You're sowing into the seed. You're sowing into the ministry of Satan and with doctrines of demons. Because they're telling you you can have everything you want by naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing. Well, guess what? I challenge one of y'all. One of y'all. Why don't y'all stop sin for a day? Just call sin out this world for 1 hour. I challenge you. You want to name and claim something? Claim sin. Stop that. How about getting your kids to just be obedient for an hour? Some of y'all got some terrible twos and terrible 22s. Don't be talking about you got the power to create things or you can speak this or speak that, and you can't even keep your house in order. But you want to talk about you can speak stuff into existence. You go right ahead. Speak something into existence that's relevant. We got folks out here talking about they got the power to speak stuff, money coming. Really, friends, is that the best you think God can do for you is give you money? The world has that. Lil Wayne got that, Jay-Z got that, Beyonce got that. And where's God in their life? Where's the immutable God in their life? See, we need to realize this, that because God don't change, his word don't change, because when he labels the word, this is truth. That's why we don't need to go to any other resource to look for truth, because the Bible, the 66 love letters that God has given us, he gave them to them. They're God-spoken, God-breathed, and we can believe they're God-believable. We don't need to follow some other philosophy. We don't need to follow words that have no meaning and no value or no purpose, because God says, I don't change. So because he don't change, and because he is God and he cannot lie, we have truth. If I got the truth, what do I need to go look for other things that are not truth? It's just something to think about. The immutability of God is the principle that God does not change. He is the same today as he was 1,000 years ago. God's nature does not change, nor does his character or attributes when something, or his character or attributes. When something changes, it is made better, worse, or different. But because God is perfect, he cannot be made better or developed into a holier being. There is no need for him to change. Can God get better than who he is? No, he can't. He's God. He's infinite. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. God can't get better than who. How can you get better than that? You are the man, so to speak, if you want to just use it in that humanistic language. He is almighty. He is almighty. See, we got it twisted. We're around here, and this is another thing that these prosperity pimps say. They tell you that you can tell God what to do. Now, I don't know about y'all, friends, but I don't even grow up. My father's 80 years old, and I got a healthy respect for him, and I'm 50, or be 50 in next month. But for me to go around telling him what to do, I might suggest some things to him. But I don't disrespect my father, my earthly father. Now, how much more will I give to the one who spoke me into existence and can speak me out of existence with just his, just one little word? He can just look down upon me and I can drop dead. But we got folks around here telling God what to do, or telling people, or telling the greatest failure. I heard this from one pimp. I call them pimps. I don't have no problem calling them pimps. Kenneth Copeland, who has a mega ministry, mega lies, mega gospel, it's mega grotesque what it is. Doesn't matter how many people pile in there every Sunday. His gospel is weak. But he goes around, he taught this, that the greatest failure that ever was God. Because he created Adam and he knew Adam was going to sin. That's blasphemous. What a blasphemous statement from an ignorant man who should know better, who claims he has the Rhema word ministry. But obviously he's not reading the word. But he's going to call God the greatest failure? I hope he repents before he go to hell, because that's where he's going to end up at, in hell. Not just for that statement, but many erroneous statements that he's made, because they think they can tell God what to do. Matter of fact, they think they're on an equal plane. They think they are little gods, so to speak. They're little gods, but they still catching planes where they need to go. If you're God, you don't need a plane. They still driving their cars. If you're God, you don't need to drive a car. You should be able to just speak it and you're there. And if you're God, what do you need my money for? See, I try to make things real relevant and real simple for us so we don't get duped. It's time for us to wake up, church. Friends, it's time for us to get wise. God didn't create us and save us and redeem us so we can be ignorant and taken advantage of. God don't want us to be deceived and played and pimped. But if you close your Bible and listen to a lot of this garbage, this is what happens. When you look at what's going on in so-called quote-unquote churches, because you see the popularity or you see how big it is. See, I don't like big churches. I want to know my pastor. I don't want it to be so big that he don't know my name. Because, see, I want to be accountable. I want to be somebody that he knows my name. He said, oh, yeah, that's Brother Daryl Kendrick. He's a man of God. I don't want to be hiding in the shadows of things. Because, see, God already knows me, but I want whoever I'm sitting up under I'm going to call my shepherd, because it should be a relationship. I should be able to trust him. He should be able to trust me. But back to this, the immutability of God. Why is it important? We're going to cover these, not all at once, but I want us to look at what is the immutability of God. Why is it important? The immutability of God is important because it assures of us of God's role in our lives. We're going to cover that. We can be sure of who God is. We can be sure God loves us. We can be sure God will sustain us in hard times. That's something that we all tend to wrestle with, because we think that when we're going through things that God doesn't love us or that he has abandoned us. That is not necessarily true. It could be because of our sin. It could be because we're not in fellowship with God. Doesn't mean you don't have a relationship. It just means that you're out of the will of God. See, I can't be, like I said before, I can't be practicing sin or living in a sinful lifestyle and then claiming I'm in fellowship with God, because, see, I'm supposed to be an ambassador of Christ. I represent Jesus Christ. Where I go, he goes. And if I go somewhere that's not pleasing to him, I'm making Others can see that. If I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, then I'm not representing Christ in the light that he wants me to represent. We can be sure of God's plan for our lives. We're going to cover all four of these as the days to come. But I want us to look at back at Malachi, because some important nuggets here. In Malachi 3:6, he says, "For I, the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Now, the context here is that the children of Jacob, or this particular group of Israelites, they were in sin. God didn't consume them or allow he didn't pour his wrath upon them because he did not change. See, he made a covenant. That's why he didn't wipe them out. We see partial discipline all through scripture, where God wipes out different tribes or different groups of people, even in the covenant that he made with Israel. The people in Israel, when they came over from Egypt and God allowed them to walk around for 40 years, remember, he said that they wasn't going into the promised land. That first generation that came over with Moses, he told them they wasn't going into the promised land. Why? Because of their sin of unbelief. Oh, some of us still got that right now, too. We really don't believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We really don't believe that God's word is inspired. We really don't. We really doubt it. Partial belief is no oblique belief. Because, see, this is a faith book. This is a faith walk. And, see, if God is faithful, I should be faithful to him. I should believe him based on his word, that he cannot lie and that he's not going to tell me anything that's contrary to his nature and his character. God never, ever can do that, because it would violate who he is and he would not be God. Remember, Numbers 23 again, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will it not be fulfilled? Or will he not fulfill it? When God says he's going to destroy this, when he says he's going to build that, when he says he's going to save them, or he means just what he says. God told Israel, he told Israel there will be a partial blindness upon them until the fullness of the Gentiles. Why is Israel still blinded? Why are they still rejecting their Messiah? Because God said it. That's why. Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11, read them all three. Israel, God's not done with Israel, but into the fullness of the Gentiles, that's each and every one of us that's not a Jew. Israel is under the blinders. They've been veiled. They've been hidden. Their eyes have been blinded. Not their physical eyes, but their spiritual eyes. There's only a remnant. Less than 2% of Israel right now knows their Messiah. Less than 2% of Israel is Messianic Jews. That's why we keep praying. But guess what? You notice one thing. God said that Israel would not be destroyed. What's going on right now? Every time they try to do something to Israel, Israel is still protected under the covenant of God Almighty. Y'all better get a grip. This Bible is powerful. Our God is immutable. He never changes. He said he's going to do something. I don't know how any scholar, any Bible teacher can sit there and say that no, that God took his favor off of Israel, basically revoked what he said he would never. He made a covenant. That covenant stands to this day. That covenant is in standing to this day. We need to believe what God's word says. He says he's not a man that can lie. Again, Malachi gives us such truth. Now, remember, a lot of folks like to snatch, and I posted something up because we so big about this whole tithing thing. People like to quote Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? He's talking to Israel. None of us are Jews that's trying to enter church, this, or really most of the Baptist churches in the city, in the inner city, most of the churches in the cities, we're not Jewish churches. We're not Jews. It didn't matter if we was anyway. Notice one thing, and I challenge anybody to find it. If you find it, I'll eat my words, but you show me one scripture with anywhere in the New Testament where tithing was mandated or commanded. This is not a story about tithes, but we need to get biblical. We need to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. Stop letting these pastors put you under bondage with the tithing. Because if you're going to tithe, it's more than 10%. It was 23.5%, and it was given to the Levites. So where are some Levites? You need to go find some Jewish Levites and a priest. They are a priest. And you need to be given some sacrifices up, and you need to be given the first fruits of your harvest, because there was no coinage back then. Let's get biblical, y'all. Let's get biblical. That's another topic. We're going to deal with that tithing thing one day soon, though. Because I see so many people try to put people under legalism. They're more concerned about tithing than obedience. God don't care about your money if he don't got your heart. And until you are saved, redeemed, regenerated, and walking in the Spirit, he don't have you. So your money don't matter anyway. Your money perishes. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy a relationship with God Almighty. See, when we give ourselves to God as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, guess what? And we start to really look at the scriptures and what God called us to do, then we can have freedom. And guess what? Your money ain't going to even be an issue. You don't mind giving to the work of the church. You don't mind giving to the work of the Lord, because you already know that, hey, God's given me wisdom. He told me, hey, to give freely, it's grace giving. It's amazing how they want to put you under bondage with that law, but with the moral laws, we can just live any way we want to. How about that? We're going to hold that one law up, and then, oh, you robbing God. How about you stop fornicating? Are you robbing God? How about stop cheating on your wife or your husband? Are you robbing God? Hey, won't you stop that lying tongue of yours? See, these are moral laws that God has never changed. Oh, boy. I stepped on somebody's toes. No, no. That's all right. 1 Samuel 15:29, and also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. God don't regret about, he ain't regretful about nothing. When God destroyed cities, he didn't look back and say, man, I'm so sorry I did that. Even when God told Moses, he said, I regret that I'm great, that I made these people. He wasn't talking about he regretted that he made. He was talking about the heart. He's talking about their nature, their sinfulness. God wasn't apologizing for making us or for making Israel. Anytime we see God repenting, only thing he's doing is he's basically changing from destroying somebody because there's intercession in prayer. When man changes his nature or his character or repents, then guess what? God repents from doing what he's going to do. That's to give you your chastening or your judgment. Because God will chasten his children. He will take each and every one of us out to the woodshed because he loves us. But the rebel, the renegade, the ones that's out there playing games and out there sending their brains out, guess what? Only repentance they need, they need to come to the cross. They needed to come to the cross and stop being lost. Jesus is coming back, y'all. Look at this world. Look at what's going on around you. We need to have a biblical worldview in these last days because I'm telling you, Satan has a worldview too, to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's going to set us up with everything that is not of God. And he's going to feed you the lie of humanism, secular humanism, Darwinism, pantheism, which is many different gods, which many people are following nowadays, like Dopa Winfrey. She needs salvation. She needs Jesus. She needs to stop following that false god, and she needs to grab hold to Jesus, the biblical Jesus. Her money ain't going to buy her out of hell. Oprah Winfrey needs Jesus. And the reason I'm hard on her because she has a great influence because she goes around with T.D. Jakes and a lot of these other, but she's all over the place. She's with Deepak, this guy over here that's listening to spirits and mantras and all kinds of foolishness. She got all kinds of gods. If you looked in her closet, she probably got a shrine for every god there is because she said on her show before it went off the air. There's many paths. But my Bible says that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. That's a narrow view. Yes, I love it. I don't want to be on no broad road. The broad road, according to Matthew 7, leads us to hell. Where many going to be? Millions, billions of people on the road to hell right now. Because they got another Jesus, another gospel that cannot save or redeem them. And it's time for us, friends, to wake up. It's time for us to be born again. It's time for us to wake up, so-called Christians. Stop being afraid. Stop worrying about what people think about us. And we need to be bold as lions in these last days. Friends, if somebody that you know, and you're a Christian, somebody that you know that you run across every day and you don't tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, you don't at least give them a seed, you don't plant a seed in their heart, something, and they die. And I've had this happen to me. It's not a pleasant feeling. But you don't plant a seed, and the Holy Spirit is putting it in your mind, in your heart. And you can talk about football and basketball and all these talk shows and empire, which should be satire. Man, ain't nothing but flesh and mess. If you're a Christian watching that stuff, why are you putting that stuff in your spirit? I'm gonna be honest. Come on. If we're not our own, you might say, well, I'm not doing it. Yeah, you are. If I'm entertaining it, if I'm turning the TV on and entertaining it, it's just like I want to be there doing it because I'm feeling what they're feeling in some way. I'm enjoying that. That's how sensuality works. There's a rap song where this guy said he had two cousins named Sin and Death. The song is called Pleasure. See, when we want pleasure, guess what? We invite two friends with Sin and Death. Especially when you're not married, when you're not in a biblical relationship of husband and wife. Two men, two women, that ain't nothing but sensuality. That's lasciviousness. It's immorality. That's an abomination before God. See, we need to be biblical in these last days. We don't need to be politically correct. Politically correct will get you put in hell. Jesus said, if I'm ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of me before his Father in heaven. And I don't want him to tell me to depart, I never knew you. I don't want him to tell me, Daryl, you was a coward. You didn't stand up for me. You wasn't willing to die for my name. You wasn't willing to go to jail for my name. You wasn't willing to suffer for me. I don't want him to say that to me. Do y'all want him to say it to you? Something to think about. Something to think about. Until our next time, friends, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through me as your vessel. I don't take no credit for it. I give you all the glory, Father. I pray, Lord God, that this message hit home and makes us think, makes us really look at who we are in Christ, makes us look at who you are, the unchangeable God. From beginning to end, Lord, you are so unchangeable. Father, we come before you right now, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for your message today. I pray, Lord God, that if there's any unbelievers that hear this or have heard it today, that they would not let another moment go by without them coming to faith in Jesus Christ and confessing their sins, repenting of their sins, and asking you to be their Lord, and that you would be their Father. Lord, how wonderful it is for those who preach the good news. How beautiful it is for those who preach the good news of glad tidings. We don't want nobody to go to hell, even Oprah Winfrey, Lord, or any other celebrity. There's too many people right now, Lord God, that are walking in darkness, walking in lies, deceived. It's time for us, Lord, as the church, the remnant. America has turned its back on you, Lord God, but there is still a remnant of faithful few. May we be bold as lions. May we be loving. May we be caring. But may we never, ever compromise and change on you. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. We lift up Israel. We lift up this nation, our nation. We plead the blood for redemption and a true revival that will start in each and every one of us. That we may be like Jeremiah's and John the Baptist and have fire in our bones, that we will be bold to speak your commandments and speak your gospel and never shrink back. In Jesus' loving name, we say amen, amen, and amen. I thank God for all of you friends. I thank God for those that might be visiting for the first time. I hope you were blessed. I hope that this word has touched you. If you're being blessed, please share it with other people. Please, we'll be back here, Lord willing, Wednesday afternoon, 2:30. Again, if it changes, I'll post it up in Facebook. But you can also go to the archives at any time, 24/7, and you can listen, Blog Talk Radio, or you can just go to Google Minister Big Ken 65. I'm working on a website soon. Got some cards coming out. We're trying to get some things going so we can evangelize and we can make a difference in our world, and we can be able to share this message with those who might be in darkness. We can be able to help those who are struggling with their faith come to understanding that they may know Jesus. To each and every one of you, God bless. I pray you have a great day. I pray that the Lord be with you, and that he bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Go with God and go and tell the world. Do I have to deserve this love inside of me?
no estimate. My face looks the same, my brain can rearrange, but I'm changed, I promise I ain't the same. Your love's so deep, you suffer the took pain. You died on the cross to give me a new name. Ain't nothing like I've seen before, I got a beam of glory. I was low down and dirty, but you claim me, Lord. You adopted me, you keep rocking me. I'ma tell the world and ain't nobody stopping.